Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and we are here on the 25th of May on Workshop Wednesdays on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now, I want to talk to you today about a few things before I bring our guest up. We have one guest this afternoon here, or this morning, I'm sorry. He'll be on up shortly. And we're going to be talking to him about the different things that he does. And it's kind of interesting. He's a teacher, an author, and a speaker. And he plays with language, psychology, and nonverbal communication. So I know that sounds a little deep, but I can tell you, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited about it. He's a mentalist, as they say. Anyway, I want to talk about our show today. I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in everyday worlds and of an entrepreneur. What's taking place? What it is that we go through? What it is we overlook? What it is we do? What do we recognize? What don't we recognize? What do we take for granted? What do we think we're owed? And how hard are we willing to work for it? And what happens when we come to a point where, we just throw our hands up in the air and don't know what to do? Is that a spot where we're supposed to quit, give up, or just dig in and try harder? A lot of interesting thoughts and questions develop from these kinds of conversation. I've had a couple in the last 10 days with some entrepreneurs asking them questions. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is we're heading into summer. And, school's going to be out. Some areas, it's already out. Kids will be home. If you office from home or if you office from a brick-and-mortar building, as an entrepreneur, we dedicate a lot of our time to our daily day of being or trying to be successful. Now, I heard something this morning from Darren Hardy, talked about the founder of Amazon and how he made billions of dollars in mistakes. Well, I got the point. I mean, we make mistakes and it costs money and you move forward and you grow big. But as a solopreneur or as an entrepreneur, do you even really, can you relate to that? It's kind of difficult. It's the first thing we do, especially when things aren't going the direction we're looking for them to go, is to say, that's just, it's way out of my league. That's not going to help me. But let's think about it. $1 million, $1 billion, or $100. Mistake is still spelt the same way in the dictionary, and it has the same definition, and it causes a setback. Only if you allow it to cause you a setback. Now, I know, trust me, I'm using myself as an example. I don't buy that all the time. But after time passes, 2-3 days, 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months, we realize that we've capitalized on things because of the mistakes. So we're okay with it. But how about when you're in the trench? Right down there in the front line, in the trench, getting pummeled and don't know what to do. What do? Who do you reach out to? Who do you talk to? I found a book on one of my shelves, my office, called The Power of Focus. And it's written by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt. And, it talks about how to hit your business, personal, and financial targets with absolute certainty. Well, that's a great title. So, you pick it up, you start reading it, and, there's work involved. So, just like every day as an entrepreneur or a solopreneur or even an executive or a stay-at-home parent, every day is a chore that you have to go through. But what happens when you take the steps and you don't see results? Do you slow down? Do you turn? Do you change directions? Do you look for a greener grass on the other side of the road? What do? It's complicated. But from what I'm experiencing is that you have to keep on stepping forward after what it is you're trying to do. If one thing doesn't work, find another way to get to that that end result. And this book that I'm reading is not telling me too much stuff I don't already know or haven't already been told in the 60 years I've been here. But what it does is it allows me to be aware of it and decide, make a choice, a commitment to staying focused on what it is that I'm trying to do. Now, you know, here at Tough Talk Radio Network, I've been founder of Tough Talk Radio Network now going on, 7 years plus. And, you know, we have a service that we do for radio hosts and, you know, we have the whole thing. And this was before podcasting got popular. And so what happens is now podcasting became popular, and I'm thankful for that. It really made me think that I made the right choice. But things are changing. So how do I stay ahead of the changes? Do I do more research? Do I change directions? Do I lower my cost? Do I raise my cost? Do I increase my services? Do I decrease my services? These are all things that we have questions with. Okay, and to me, I need to have a focus on what it is that I got to do. So first I got to list out what it is that I'm trying to do. And then, as I read in this book, I said, interview some people that are successful in what they do and find out what it is they do and try to do those things. Well, that's great, but if you're a solopreneur and you have a mailman coming to your house 5-6 days a week with bills, it's kind of hard to take time out to go interview people that are doing well and learn from them and then put everything into place because, well, your main focus is on paying the bills, making money, paying the bills. So I often think, wow, people write these books, and that's great. But you got to take time to read the book, then you got to take time out to do the steps, and then you got to make sure you're making money to pay your bills to keep the lights on. Well, that is a way you can look at it, but it's not going to be very helpful. So what I have to keep reminding myself is what it is that I want to do every month. So I have a little 2-foot by 2-foot whiteboard. I got a big one in my office too, but I got a little one because I can lean it down closer to me. And I put on there what I want to do each month. And one thing I notice is if I don't hit my goal, I erase it and make another one. So I'm thinking, is that the correct thing to do? Or should I reevaluate what I did that month that did not allow me to get to my goal? How far was I? How close was I? What do you think I should do different and make the adjustments? So these are things that we need help with because we're busy trying to pay the bills, trying to create business. And so we can't always figure this out on our own. So we could invest some money into getting a coach or an accountability partner or whatever you want to call that person, mentor. And then we start looking at the word coach and mentor. In the last 7 years, that's been abused pretty big. Everybody is a mentor or a coach. Everybody's going to tell you how to do their job correctly. But what are they doing in their business? When you hire that business coach or that life coach or that mentor, do you research to see what they do in their business? I find it interesting that most people just go off of what they see or read. No one really digs in deeper. It's kind of like buying a brand new car, not knowing who makes the car, what it looks like, or ever test driving it. Taking a big chance. And you're investing a lot of money and time into it. So, are you willing to dig deeper? Are you willing to start out right now with a piece of paper and write down the 10 things that you do not like about your business? Maybe you have 8. Maybe you got 15. Maybe you got 5. Are you willing to stop and make a list? Are you willing to look at what it would take to change those things? maybe it's you that needs to fix. I have found that everything that goes wrong in my daily day, business, life, whatever you want to call it, is created by me. The choices that I make today will affect me tomorrow, next month, next year, 20 years down the road. So have you looked at that process? I read, I think maybe it was in the Power Focus, if a guy smokes, you know, a couple cigarettes a day, you know, it's not a big deal, he says, in 20 years, thousands of cigarettes. Now we have a big deal. Well, we never look at the future. Most of the time we look at right where we are today. So I don't have a fancy number or a big percentage or, you know, information on how many people fail versus how many people succeed in business. But we know that it says you have to make it through 5 years in order to be successful. Well, that's true, but in today's world, that's a little different because things change. We live at a faster pace. We live in a faster environment where things, because of the internet, things are able to change quickly. So I have found that I have to stay up on my homework, understand who's out there doing what they're offering, and how you can niche yourself into that process. So, you know, I always go back to, I heard that, you know, back in the days where people were mining gold, the people that made the most money weren't the gold miners. It was the people that sold the shovels and the pails. Okay? The people that sold the accessories for that process. So I often think, what could I do that? And that's how I came up with the idea about providing a service that people could have everything they need to do a radio show without giving up all the time. But what happens with that? How do you keep moving forward? How do you keep producing more for that person or for your business or to create revenue? What's the long-term expectancy of it? What is the expectation of it in the beginning? Was that even a concern? So when you look at your list of the things that you don't like, think back about what your expectations were when you started to do this. What did you think it was going to do? Did you think it was going to do it? What were the different things that took place in your line of business that went wrong? Was it personal? Was it business? Was it someone else's fault? Did the economy drop out? There's all kinds of answers. But you need to dig it all the way back to find out that what choice you made created that opportunity to show up in front of you. So I'm going to give you an example, because I like to use myself as an example, just so you know that I'm not making this stuff up. When I started my business 7 years ago, Tough Talk Network, it was because I had an illness. And I had to give up the business that I had because of a choice that I made to be in control of everything that took place. So without me there, it didn't work. With me being sick for 5-6 years, I wasn't able to do my performance where I was doing it for a good 10 years. And just think, if I taught someone else how to do that and allowed them to help me grow my business, I might not even be having this conversation today. But I'm okay with it because it brought me in a new direction and allowed me to reinvent myself. But now here we are, 7 years down the road. What am I doing to allow myself to be able to grow in the future without me having to be there for it to work? I can tell you I didn't do too good of a job this time around either. I like to think that I did things differently, but as I added up my list that you should be making, I see that the end result is still the same. I am not where I want to be. And it's only because of the choices that I made along the way. Sometimes, as an entrepreneur, you know, we think we work really, really hard. We don't want anybody to ruin our credibility. We don't want anybody to ruin it for us. We just work so hard, and we don't want to lose that. At the end of the day, the reason why we lose it is because we don't let anybody else help us. if you look at all the successful people out there, they're not there by themselves, and they're not doing all the different things themselves. They don't wear 8 hats in a day. Now, maybe the first year they had to wear more hats than wanted to. But moving forward, I am trying to figure out how I can make money in a business where it's set up in a year's time that I don't even have to show up. It runs itself. It's hard to find good people, you're going to say. Sure it is. I'll tell you what's harder. Going through the process and having the patience to go through a bunch of different people to find the right people. They're out there. And you know that if someone came along to you and made you a great offer, you'd probably be very qualified to do it if you decided you wanted to do it. So there's a lot of things there that we're doing that we need to make sure of so that when time comes where maybe your children are out of school for the summer, you can take a vacation. Your business can keep going. Maybe when business slows down, it's okay because you aren't the only person doing everything, which means you have time to create new ideas, new business, more business. You're able to look back and see the mistakes you're making to correct them. Now, look, if you're not making any mistakes, God bless you. But I got to tell you something before it becomes a shock to you. If you're working every day and you're not making mistakes, you're really not in business. Okay? Life's just not that simple. You have to make mistakes in order to learn. You have to make mistakes in order to grow. And you have to recognize the mistakes in order to grow and make money in a business. Does that mean is this going to be easy, simple, done? No. Why? Well, because like myself, I keep making new mistakes. And like myself, I don't always keep my focus on exactly what it is I should be focusing on. You know, we got a lot of distractions. Internet, the election, television, children. Oh, I like this one. Life gets in the way. We got all that. But I can tell you, really, if you're not really committed to blowing through everything in a fashion that's going to make you focus on hitting your mark. Now, I'm not saying this 24/7, but it does happen 24/7. You have to have time for your family. Got to have balance. But if you're not that person willing to do that, then you need to look for getting a job. You need to look at getting a job where you can go in, punch out, go home, watch Dancing with the Stars. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Sometimes I think that's probably the best thing a person could do. It's a lot less stress. But who knows the truth? I only know the truth about me. You only know the truth about you. If you're willing to be honest with yourself, if you're willing to take the right steps, it doesn't matter your age. Look, I'll be 60 in maybe 3 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't go get a job, start a new business, correct the business I have, or improve the habits that I have. None of that stumps me from doing it. All I have to do is be willing to take a step forward, drag the second foot, make sure that others are willing to participate in what I'm doing. Make sure I have the patience to go through enough people to find out which one would be a best fit for me to have in my company. Now, is there going to be stress? Yes. Is it going to be hard? Yes. But how's it going for you so far? How's what you're doing working? Now, a lot of you have heard me say I have 3x5 cards posted all in different places on my monitor in my office. Reminders, notes. That's great. You know, I mean, that's great. Great conversation. But what is it if you're not taking advantage of what you have there? You could have 1,000 of them. But if you're not using any of them, you're just fooling yourself. And that's where when you make your list of the 10 things that you don't like about your business, if you look back and none of them have anything to do with what you do, throw the paper out and start that over again. Because I can guarantee everything you don't like about your business is because of what you do or don't do. Now, most of you might roll your eyes, but at the end of the day, when you bed down and you get up in the morning, you're the only one that knows what's on your mind. And I can guarantee you, 89% of the people out there that work for themselves or others think about how they could do something better than what they're doing. How can they get out of the trap they're in? Okay, it has nothing to do with credit cards. It has nothing to do with anything other than choices that you make today will be the results of what you turn out to be later. Now think about this. If you have a wife and kids, it affects them. Most of us are in business for ourselves. Well, part of it's ego, I guess, right? Or we haven't been able to find anybody to train us the proper way to work for them. But in reality, it's in it so we can provide a good life for our family. So if you're not doing that, you're affecting a lot of things. So it's really, really important for you to sit down, put a piece of paper and a pencil, and be honest on what it is that you don't like about what's going on in your business. When you do that, put a dash next to the thing that you wrote down and write what you're going to do to correct it. Now, what if you don't know what to do? There's your answer. And how do you find out? Research. Look at other people that you know that are in business. Ask them a question. How's that working for you? How are you getting past that? Did you make that mistake? What did you do to correct it? You know, people that are gaining success love to help others. They love it. Because it reminds them that they're doing good. Now, people that aren't making it, they don't like to help others. Because they're just not really sure. Some of them might give you information if you pay them. But at the end of the day, successful people like to help other people because it's part of their personality. They're excited that they're doing good and they can help others. Are they going to have all the answers? No. But will you have all the questions? Yes. And will you have the obedience to decide whether or not you want to go out there and make a difference? So, just some things to think about, folks. My name is Tony Gambone. We're here on Workshop Wednesday every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you want to be a guest on the show, go to workshop-wednesdays.com. Register. Select the date that's available that fits your schedule. And make sure that you're bringing something to my audience that allows them to gain access to more. As I mentioned, my guest today is Carl Christman. He's a teacher, an author, and a mentalist. He plays with language, psychology, and nonverbal communication to educate and entertain audiences. He has a best-selling book, How to Read Minds and Influence People, explores communication from a radically different perspective. It unlocks the science of reading people and help people harness the power of persuasion. So, he offers some tools, and we're going to talk to him here in a few seconds after we come back from commercial break. But what I want you to do, folks, is take a piece of paper and write down at least 10 things that you do not like about your business. And, hey, maybe you're an executive or just an employee or a stay-at-home parent. Write down the 10 things that you don't like that are going on in your world and decide how you're going to make a difference. We're going to ask Carl a couple of questions about that as well. I'm sure that he knows how people think, good, bad, and otherwise, and how they can correct some of the things they do wrong and how they can stay focused on the things they want to do. Because when we talk about read minds and influence people, well, it's right there. It's right there in the title. So we're going to take a commercial break. We'll come back, bring Carl Christman up, and hope you stay tuned. Get that piece of paper out. Start writing down them 10 things. We'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuck Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuck Talk Radio Network can help you, go to TuckTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
Okay, make sure to tune in to Writers Nation Radio every Tuesday, 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Great show if you're an author. Two ladies, one out of Dallas and one out of New York, that are working with people, helping them in the world of writing. So my guest, as I mentioned, is a gentleman by the name of Carl Christman. Christman, I'm sorry, I keep saying his name wrong. And as I mentioned, he's a teacher, an author, and a mentalist. So I want to bring up Carl and get him to tell us a little bit about who he is and where he's from, and then we'll move on to what he does. Carl, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Carl, I'm always happy when people take time out to come and share with our audience what it is that they do. But before we get into all that, let's find out where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
All right, I'm actually in Southern California, Los Angeles area, and I've just, been here my entire life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have two different websites, and am I saying your name right? Is it Christman?
It's Christman.
Christman, okay.
Yeah, Carl Christman.
So people can go,
absolutely.
They can go to carlchristman.com, that's C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-N, is one of your websites,
yeah.
And the other one is CarlReadsMinds.com. Now, I want to. This fascinates
that stands
me
a little
because,
bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is you know, when you see something like this, our minds usually kind of go, huh? But
exactly.
How did you find out that you had this capability? You know, or let's start even back a little bit further.
Yeah.
What is the definition of a mentalist?
Well, mentalist, it's someone who has powers. You can basically read people very acutely. You're very good at reading people. So we all have this ability. And the difference is there's nothing mystical or magical about it. It's all just being hyper-perceptive and just having this empathy. It's called empathetic accuracy, where you can look at someone and tell exactly what they're feeling. And children, I mean, as early as a couple years old, they can do that. They can look at their parents and they can tell if they're happy or they're sad or what's going on. And as we grow, if we really focus on this, we can really get very accurate just by asking ourselves, if I were that person right now, if I looked like they did, how would I feel? And so that's what I've done. I've tried to hone that ability to read people. And so I do that in both an entertaining fashion. I have shows where it's a mind-reading show where I go up on stage and I tell people things about themselves that they didn't realize that they were actually expressing very subtly. And so we can have it fun with hypnosis and mind-reading comedy. But then also I branched into more of the educational aspect because by day I'm also a professor of communications here in Southern California. And so I've tried to merge those together where I can actually teach people how they can read others, how they can figure out what they're truly thinking, which can be helpful for business, family, friends. The more we know about others, the better it is, the easier it is to relate to them.
Well, you know, I've heard many of times that, and I've learned many of times, that it's not fair to judge others unless you understand who they are. So just to
absolutely
think that you know something about somebody because of what you think versus getting to know more about them. We do compilation books here, and we feel as though people should tell the story of who they are and how they got to where they are, so then people will really be able to care about what it is that they do. When you're out there and you made mention that everyone has the ability to read people, but not all of us obviously use it, probably a very small amount. Is this kind of like I'm going to Las Vegas, I'm going to see a magic show?
There can be aspects of it. In fact, I would say it looks like that sometimes. It's looking like magic of the mind. But it's just a totally different technique where I will do the same thing that some Vegas magician will do. The difference is they're going to use sleight of hand and illusion in this direction, and I just use psychology. I use nonverbal communications and language to accomplish the same thing. So, yeah, it can look very similar, just a different technique. And the nice thing is you don't need to use your hands or have any magical training to do what I do.
So can you teach people how to read other people?
Absolutely. So in the book, How to Read Minds and Influence People, totally original title, of course, there's two parts. In the first part, I talk about how to read other people. Because the first step is just understanding them better. And there's a few ways that this works. First of all, I look at micro-expressions, which are these very quick facial expressions that people have that reveal a lot about what they're going through. Most of us, unless we're mean or pathological liars, we're going to try to hide our emotions to have only appropriate ones. So if I were to invite you to my house for dinner, you probably wouldn't enjoy it because I'm a terrible cook. But if I asked you how the food was, you'd probably tell me it was wonderful because you don't want to hurt my feelings. So when I ask you how the food was, I'm not looking for your response. I'm looking for that very quick micro-expression that happens in about half a second or less, where you show me that you thought it was awful before you realized, oh, that's inappropriate. I should say this. So we're looking at micro-expressions, the different facial expressions that people do very quickly. And just by being able to read those, we can tell what do people really think. And the other thing I get into is how cold reading works. Cold reading is that technique that psychics or fake psychics use all the time, where they are able to look at someone and they're able to tell lots about them. They're able to speak in a certain way and identify certain things that apply to most people or pick up little hints. For example, if you've ever seen someone do palm reading, it is amazing what you can look at people's hands and discover. It's not just the lines that's kind of superstitious. But if I look at your hands, I can tell all sorts of things. Do you have calluses? If you have calluses, I can tell, do you work out? Are you into fitness? Do you work with your hands for a living? By looking at cuts, I can see what kind of hobbies you have. Did you hurt yourself? I can look at, for women, nail polish. That says the personality. Are they outgoing? Are they shy? I can look at jewelry. That'll tell me, are you in the Rotary Club? Are you in the military? Were you in the military? Are you married? What is your personality? So just picking up on all these little things, it helps us to really relate to people better. As the second part of my book, How to Influence People, then I get into how do you use that to hopefully persuade people to make things better, because our life is persuasion. We spend much of our time trying to get other people to do what we want. Hopefully those things are good and we're not trying to get them to join our cult or a scam. But I figure getting your kids to clean their room, getting them to stay off drugs, getting your partner to be healthy, getting people at work to make the right decision to grow your business, all of those are examples of persuasion. So that's the other part I talk about. How do you use nonverbal communication to read people? How do you use psychology to really persuade them and hopefully have a better relationship? So in How to Read Minds and Influence People, I focus on hopefully how you can have a better relationship just by using these two techniques.
So, you know, Carl, my monologue today was basically about a little bit of a struggle that a lot of entrepreneurs have, and that is, keeping focus, right? I mean, just focusing on building her business, giving up control, being obedient, creating sales, just a whole list of things. And when I look at what you're doing, the first thing pops to my mind is, boy, this guy would be great to teach sales teams how to go out there and create better sales, right? But also, how about working with entrepreneurs and teaching them how to recognize their own situations that they're, you know, not given the honest answer to right away? They can't see their facial expression unless they're staring in a mirror, but have you ever worked with people that they could, you know, like entrepreneurs or solopreneurs who are, you know, we get kind of stuck on control of everything?
Absolutely. In fact, that's much of what I do now. I can do the entertaining aspect where it's just a lot of fun. But I've transitioned into a lot of what I do now is sales training, keynote addresses, where it's teaching people exactly what I do. In fact, that's where the book came from. For years, during the day, I would teach my classes at La Sierra University here in Riverside in Southern California. And then on weekends and evenings, I do my fun entertainment shows. So the book is actually trying to combine those together. So how can you use the stuff I do in my classes and in my shows to increase your sales? And I start from the perspective that we all work in sales, every single one of us. If you have a business, obviously you're in sales. That's the whole point of the business. But as a teacher, I'm in sales. My goal is to sell the students on the importance of education. I'm not just giving them information. I'm selling them on the excitement, make them want to find out more about it. Good doctors will tell you what's wrong with you. Great doctors will sell you on a cure, make you want to take action and get better. For that matter, if you're single and don't want to be, you work in sales. You're selling yourself to someone else, trying to get them to go on a date with you. Dating profiles are sales pitches. First dates are sales meetings. So I start from that perspective and then try to figure out, how do we all work in sales and how can we do that more effectively? But I obviously start with the idea of reading people. How do you read people more effectively? Because none of us work by ourselves. If you work for yourself, you're still dealing with clients. So much of our lives is trying to persuade other people, read them, understand them better, know what they need, and then try to give that to them. So absolutely, much of what I'm looking at here is how can I use these skills, which can just be parlor tricks that are just kind of fun and entertaining, but more importantly, how can you do this at a daily basis? In my training sessions and shows, I'll do something and I'll explain, this is basically how it worked. But in daily life, I and most of us do this all the time. I see people and I have kind of a hunch. I think this is going on with them. And then by using that little bit of knowledge, hopefully I can either make a sale or, for that matter, just build a better relationship. Because in the long run, it's not just quick sale, move on. It's building that strong relationship with people to where you understand them better and they feel like you really get them. So absolutely, this is my book is geared primarily towards sales training. And much of my work deals with that as well.
So you work at a college, if I'm understanding this correctly. What is it you teach?
I teach communications. My emphasis has been nonverbal communication. So how do you read people, language aside?
Now, how about speakers? I speak every day on the radio and I can't see the person. There's people to speak in front of groups of people that can see the people. Can you teach speakers how to read their audiences?
Oh, absolutely. So much of my life is spent either on stage or in front of a classroom. And reading your audience is so incredibly important. When I'm on stage and have lights in my eyes on large stages and I can't see people, it is much more difficult for me because I don't know what's going on. If I can't hear their response, if I can't see them, it makes it much more difficult. So settings where I can see and hear them is very important. In fact, I make that a point. It's in my contract that I need to be able to see and hear people. Otherwise, things don't work. So when they're in front of you, you're just looking for the responses. Are people smiling? Do they look confused? What's going on? And there's a science behind it that I get to in my book of reading those micro-expressions. But it's even simpler than that. Basically, you're using empathy, empathetic accuracy, which is where if I looked like they did right now, how would I probably be feeling? And this is where mirroring comes in handy. If I had my arms like that, if I were sitting like that, if my posture was like that, if my face was like that, would I be having a good time? Would I be confused? Would I be bored? What would I be going through? And just by asking ourselves that, it's much easier to relate to them and understand what they're going for. But on the radio as well, you can do the same thing just by listening to people's voices, their pauses, and just kind of asking ourselves, why did they put a pause there? Why did they say it that way?
I was going to mention, I teach people, I train people how to be radio hosts, and they're speakers and authors already. And I tell them this is going to be a real great way to improve your speaking ability because you can't see the people you're talking to. So you got to do what most of us don't do very well, which is very much needed. You have to listen. You got to listen
Absolutely.
To the smile in their voice. You got, you know, like you said, pauses as well. I mean, you really have to pay attention or you're not going to be able to have a good conversation. Which
Absolutely.
Really doesn't differ from face-to-face conversation, don't you think?
Definitely. The studies that have been done on reading people and this empathetic accuracy has found that people are much more accurate. They do a better job reading others when they have a relationship, when they have a baseline. So if you think about lie detectors, if you've ever seen that in the movies or on TV, what they start off with is asking people a series of questions that they know the answer to. What is their name? Where do they live? And the reason for doing that is they get a baseline. They need to know, what do people respond like? How do they act when they're telling the truth? How do they act when they're lying? And by knowing that, then when they ask the questions later on, they can figure out what's going on. Same thing with relationships in general. If there's a random stranger and I see an expression on their face or hear a tone in their voice, I don't know if that's just them. Do they always look or sound that way? Or is that something new? So just spending more time with people. So I always advise people when they're going to be dealing with new business clients, new contacts, don't rush it. Take your time because you need to understand what's this person going through? How are they normally? So then when you get to business, you know what's different from how it normally is. I've done some training with doctors, and when they spend just a couple minutes with a patient, they're probably not going to read them very effectively. They don't know, do they always look like this, or are they in excruciating pain right now? So just building that relationship always helps to be more effective and to do a better job of reading people. And I figure that's what we're all in. Everyone is in a relationship business. When you're in business, it's not just look at someone, profile them, read them, sell them something. It's build a relationship that hopefully lasts a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, and so let's take it a step in a little bit different direction, Carl, and I know you probably have the answer to this, but so today's people have the ability to access conversation on the internet with people all around the world. And all they get to do is go by their type, their letters, their email, their text, their Facebook post. Now, how complicated is that to get around understanding the different things that people are doing? Because it's a little bit harder, or I should say it's a little bit easier to be impressed by what people are putting out there than learn the truth. Do you deal with any of that?
Absolutely. It is definitely more difficult. And so you can ask yourself, obviously, why is it they're doing that? Why do they choose that profile name, that email address? Why do they write in a certain way? I'm always amused when I talk with people and ask them, why did you choose that email address? And it turns out they've had that since they were in high school. Most business professionals would not have a specific email address that was kind of immature. So we can ask ourselves, why did they do that? But one of the things when it comes to reading people is it's a conversation starter. If you've seen shows on TV or in the movies where there's someone who can read others and they just profile them and they say, this is exactly the way it is. Sherlock Holmes is a good example. And he has all these in-depth analysis. of someone, he's usually right. But that's not the way it works in real life. This stuff is a conversation starter. So I can't look at someone and just tell everything about them. I can tell lots of things about them. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not. What it does is it guides the conversation and lets me start. So when dealing with people online, I want to try to figure out, why did they choose to say things that way? Why did they choose those words? Why did they choose that profile name? And so I'll start talking with them. And maybe they're trying to appear as though they're someone they're not. Maybe that's really who they are. Maybe they're embarrassed. Maybe they're shy. But just by starting a conversation, hopefully I can get to know them better. But it is definitely a lot more difficult online because people are able to fake a whole lot more. You really can't fake a micro-expression. It tells the truth always because most of us aren't good at hiding our emotions. Online, it's a lot easier to type and make stuff up. But it's still possible. It's still possible to read people, start a relationship, and understand them better online.
Yeah. Yeah, it's complicated. And I've always been a believer that, you know, the longer you know someone, the more you get to know who they really are, you know, especially in any type of first-time meeting. If you're meeting a female or a family member, you know, not a family, but the neighbor or a business client, you want to make a good impression. But after a period of time, the real person always shows up. So,
yeah,
I mean, they seem to, you know, and a lot of times we get disappointed and we respond with the same mistake. So when people are communicating online, what do you suggest that they do so they're not misunderstood? I mean, because bold type or explanation marks or dot, 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 or, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that I don't even understand what it is, but a lot of people take it as a different type of conversation that might have been meant. How do you help people understand how to get past what they think they're reading?
Well, as you mentioned before, just the idea of listening, where one-directional communication, just reading a post and assuming that we know something about people, doesn't usually work. People can easily lie. Now, part of it would be to read between the lines. What is the way they write say? Because sometimes we can't fake that. Sometimes it's our natural personality coming through. But sometimes we can. So I'd say for all this stuff, just having a conversation. The more you listen to other people, whether it's by having a conversation online or in person, the easier it's going to be to better understand them. Online, if people really want to hide their true feelings and their true identity, they probably can, unless we're willing to spend a lot of time doing research on them. They can hide what's going on. But most people don't want to do that. Most people want to have real relationships. So I would say, as you mentioned before, just listening, just having a conversation. If I have questions, I'll talk to them. This is all starting the conversation. The more I know about people, the easier it is to guide that conversation, to understand them better, to get to know them more quickly than if I just take a shot in the dark. So if people want to hide the truth online, that's very easy. That's much of what the Internet's, much of the way it's used. But just have the conversation. Ask questions when we don't know, and it usually builds better relationships.
And, you know, Carl, I always tell people that as soon as you start getting confused, make an appointment to talk to the person on the phone. And
absolutely,
you're not seeing them face to face. You can't read them, but you could understand that you might have been misunderstanding the words they were typing. So, for instance, in an email, you know, I've learned not to send out an email unless I have my wife, who's my business partner, if it's an important email, read it, because I don't want to misrepresent what I'm trying to say, for make excitement sound like anger. So
it's very,
you know,
wise.
I think, yeah. Well, I've gotten in enough trouble, so I decided to be better with that. But I got, because we've run out of time here, but I got a couple of quick questions I want to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
It's always to feed my entrepreneurial listeners, okay? And I'm an entrepreneur, and we all are. I believe that life is a business. Now, you know,
absolutely.
Not most wives probably would agree with that, but, you know, you only get what you put into something, and same as in your business and in your marriage. So when you're doing these types of things, have you ever thought about doing it for couples?
I have not, actually. My mother's a therapist, and she does a lot of this kind of stuff. But everything I talk about in the book applies to personal relationships as well, because I figure it's the same basic idea. We're all in sales. With a personal relationship, your goal hopefully is to make the relationship better, to impress the other person, to make them want to be in a better life. So you're going to use the same thing. You're going to talk to them. You're going to understand them better. Hopefully for couples, they already have a great baseline. But on that day-to-day situation, trying to read the other person better is going to make any relationship better. And then the idea of persuasion, if you can persuade the other person to do better at work, do better at home, do better with the kids, have a better marriage or better relationship or better friendship. Everything I talk about there, how do you read people, how do you influence them, is going to work for everything, for business or for relationship alike. So absolutely. I haven't done any counseling. I'm not actually licensed for that, but everything I talk about would certainly work for that. I often talk about my interpersonal communications class, where a lot of this came from, as group therapy. First day of class, I say, I'm going to need a lot of your personal relationship issues because this is basically group therapy. Let's talk about it. And everything applies. Same basic idea.
Well, Carl, where can people let's tell them how they can connect with you, how they can hire you to be a speaker or a keynote or do a workshop, or how can they buy your book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my book, How to Read Minds and Influence People, is on Amazon. There's a Kindle version as well as a print edition. And to get a hold of me, my website is carlchristman.com, carlchristman.com. Although, since it's kind of hard to remember my last name, I also have carlreadsminds.com. And that's usually the one people find because Carl Reads Minds kind of stands out. But either of those things, I'm all over social media and just all over the place doing training sessions and speaking. So I'd love for people to get a hold of me if they have any questions or would like to know more about me.
Do you have anything coming up in your area or maybe somewhere in the country in the next 4 to 8 weeks that people could plug into, come in and see you speak in person?
I do mostly private conferences that you would be registered, that people would register for and come, but I have a list of those on my website. So people just go there, they can find my upcoming schedule.
Awesome, awesome. And
wonderful.
One more question. Have you thought about doing any online webinars?
I've been thinking about it. I have not done that, but I think that would be a great idea. So I will definitely have to look at that in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people all around the world that could use your help. You know, not only here in the States, but everywhere, and as you see different things. I just think it's fascinating that you're able to do this. And one, like, how old were you when you realized that you had this ability to use what everyone else wasn't using?
Well, as a kid, I was always very perceptive, and I would see people and just kind of think, I wonder if they feel this way, and start talking to them and find out that, in fact, they did. Then in college and graduate school, I really started studying this, studying how you can read people more effectively. And my degree was in communications with an emphasis in nonverbal communications. And so I started getting into the science behind it. And then from there on, I've just been getting more and more into reading people more effectively. So I had an interest in it forever, but it wasn't until I hit college that I really started to train and focus on it.
So I know your book came out last year.
Yes.
Are you writing another one?
I am not writing another one yet because, I tell people, it took me about a year to sit down and actually write it. But it took me years to come up with the content, both in my classes and the training sessions, just trying to put stuff together. And once you have the material, once you have the ideas, it's easy to sit down. So I'm definitely brainstorming, but I have not started writing another one yet.
Well, we hope that when you create another book or webinars coming online or whatever it is, that you'll come back and let us help market that to our listeners as well. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today, and I just look forward to following you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, folks, we're up against the clock, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to wrap it up with making sure that you know how to find Carl Christman, and that's go to carlchristman.com, CarlChristman.com, or carlreachminds.com. And here's my suggestion of the day. Okay, here I'm going to make it a tip of the day. Get the book, How to Read Minds and Influence People, The Science of Nonverbal Communication and Everyday Persuasion. Go to Tough Talk Radio Network Facebook page or Tony Gambone's Facebook page, click on the link, or just type it in, and it'll come up on Google. As always, it's been a pleasure with our guests, and I'm very thankful that my listeners will tune in every week here, 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Go to toughtalkradionetwork.com to find out the list of shows. And, hey, if you're interested in hosting your own show, we not only train you how to do the show, but we do all the steps for you. All you have to do is show up and do the interview. Give us a holler, tony@tonygambone.com, if you have any questions for me. Make sure to reach out to Carl. Okay, let him know what you thought of the interview. You can find him at Carl Christman at rocketmail.com. Carl Christman at rocketmail.com. Shoot him an email. You can connect with him on social media. And as I said, if you go to our Facebook pages, you'll find every way to connect with him. Websites, social media, and everything else, this book as well. That's our show for today. I hope that everyone will take my advice or take my challenge. Let's call it a challenge. That way there I'm not sounding like I'm smarter than anybody else. Write down at least 10 things that you don't like about what's going on in your world of business or life, and do something about it. Maybe Carl's the guy that could help you out with that. My name is Tony Gambone. This is Workshop Wednesdays, and we'll see you next week.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.